Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to our next call in the Daimo Meridian. We're working on transforming shame and apathy and all those other combo emotions, as I like to think of them. Anxiety, guilt is in the mix here, overwhelm, etc. And as we head into this territory, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you could either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. As we begin here, I invite you to take a moment to connect to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. Let's make some space. Human, just a little bit more. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking a moment to savor that, to drink that in. And now I invite you to take a moment to either scan outwardly or inwardly, letting the gaze move through, landing again on anything that's pleasant and neutral. And as you let the gaze land there on that thing that's pleasant and neutral, noticing what it is you like the most about this thing. As you breathe with that, drinking it in just a little bit deeper in a way that allows you to receive its nourishment for, well, what it is, nourishment, nurturing, support. Begin to also notice how it feels to take this in, what happens inside of you. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking a moment to savor it too. Is that what happened, Sherry? Ah, haha. Thank you. Let me take a peek at that. It did say noon. Oh my goodness. What did the schedule say online? As I'm recording this, I'm just noticing that I might actually be here a little early today. Let me just check it out. Oh no, my email was, I said the wrong time on the email, but I, ooh, now I'm conflicted. To honor the time that was originally posted on the course, I'm gonna go ahead and do the session now, and I'll send my apologies to anyone for that confusion, and the recording will be up in time, so you can access it then. And well, I'll do something. I'll send out a little note as well, and my apologies for any of that confusion today. And as you take a moment to notice any of the things that you've been savoring and how those might be in the face of my little moment of scheduling and time stuff. I'm going to invite you to take one more time for yourself to connect to what's nurturing and nourishing for you. My eyes opened up in the middle of all of that, and I saw a note from Sherry letting me know I may have had the wrong time on my end. So thank you for letting me know, Sherry. I appreciate that a lot. All right, my love. So as you settle back into that thing that's pleasant and neutral and noticing how the system responds to it all, drinking that in just a little bit more. And I invite you to really just welcome that in, even 1% more with your next few breaths. Thank you for being here, whether you're live or listening to the recording. And thank you for your grace in all the ways today. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages for all that you are here for and carrying and have within you. Thank you for all of those gifts, those blessings. Even if they're blessings in disguise right now, thank you for all that you carry. And thank you, the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that have nurtured and nourished us all to exist and to be and to continue to receive life in all of its ways. And as we head into this opportunity to give thanks, I wonder what it feels like inside of you as you're present to hearing that all. Sometimes these words get almost routinely spoken. So I wonder what it's like to take a moment just to notice how they land inside of you. And again, if any of that is pleasant and neutral, taking a moment to savor it as well. Thank you for all of your mindfulness, and thank you for showing up and bringing all of you to the table in all these ways today and all the days. All of my love, as we journey together today. Blessings on this journey. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. So, on that note of email confusion, it sounds like I had the correct time on the inside of the email, but not on the email title. It didn't get changed there. So, if that has disrupted your day or your schedules, I do apologize. The recording is posted. And before I get into today's session, I just want to let you know that next week I'm out of town. And because of that, I'm in seminars from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the those coming days. However, I'd still like to honor the original date of next week's session, so I'll keep it on the Wednesday. But I'm going to move the time up to 8 a.m. Mountain Time so I can do that before my day of my seminar starts. So next week it'll be 8 a.m. I'll be really clear on that in the email as well as telling you ahead of time now. 8 a.m. And then for those of you in Mountain Time, that's 8 a.m. For us in Saskatchewan, that'll be 9 a.m. For those of you in Eastern Standard Coast there, that time zone, it'll be 10 a.m. And for those of you on the Pacific side, it'll actually be a 7 a.m. And if you're anywhere else in the world, I'm sorry. That's it. That's all the time zone math I carry right now. All right, my love. So as we move into today's session, I'm going to invite us to again take a moment to drop inward with your breath. As the very first thing that we're doing is actually really needing your breath. We're going to work with lymphatic circulation, which helps to clean out those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And we're doing that, interestingly enough, for all things midline, which is no small amount of energy. So we have, I'm going to argue, our predominantly most powerful masculine and feminine meridians that run there. This line also carries the energy of trust. So as we flush out lymphatic circulation through all things midline, we're also supporting its capacity to move through those layers of things that might be blocking our sense of trust, as well as helping to keep us centered. Centered. So lymphatic circulation through this midline to support centering. And then with that, lymphatic circulation underway, we're linking that into, interestingly enough, the Dymo meridian. And as soon as I land there is all this energy of shame that I feel that's locking in the tailbone. And this doesn't actually make sense in Chinese medicine. We'll use our imaginations a little. The Daimo meridian, that beltline meridian, is feeling like it's squeezing in a particular way that's cinching the kidney meridian. So even though Chinese medicine might have a very different take on this, I'm seeing it almost as it's like choking or strangling it in a way. So as we work with this, we're gonna give it its own little, so to speak, mini body talk session. And we're gonna start off with hydration. We're doing it for, if you can imagine, like the inside of a belt that you might wear of the Daimo meridian. Again, we're gonna use our imagination and take some liberties here. As we hydrate here, taking in water and joy and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. And as this gets to be hydrated and it wraps all the way around the waist, I'm seeing it as actually to helpfully contain and to create a stability of sorts. In particular, as it surrounds the entire circumference of us, it's also going to, as it hangs out roughly in the middle of our body, helps to contain the energetic flow between the upper body and the lower body as much as it will in its circumference as it wraps all the way around. So as we support containment in all of these directions, we're linking it into house six, house of practical action, house of being service to our health, service to our bodies, our minds, house of discernment, of air awareness, of intellect, of correlates to the small intestine meridian. And here we're actually working with the entire part of the small intestine meridian where it goes around the upper back region. And it's carrying with it the energy of feeling like hung up. You know, when you get hung up on something, and that metaphor of being hung up, meaning like we can't quite let go of it, or we feel kind of stuck, or there's something that's glitching in our system that isn't allowing things to flow and move through more freely. So as we work with this feeling hung up, it's actually going into the intellectual hang-ups. And the intellectual hang-ups are classically along the lines of like, well, how am I going to do that? Well, that doesn't make sense. I can't see a clear path through. I don't think that's going to work. So all the needs for like doubt and reason to have a solid plan that makes sense before we can take that step forward. And sometimes that's needed, but sometimes we can hide behind, well, I can't figure it out, so I just won't do anything. Or I don't have a clear plan. And sometimes we actually can't have a clear plan. We just have to take a step and see what shows up next for ourselves. So as we work with this being hung up on the intellect, as it has a tendency to do, we're gonna also run hydration for the left brain. And as we offer the left brain hydration, also balancing the liver meridian as it where I should say it governs near the crown of the head. And from here, releasing a lot of shame as well. A lot of shame around all those times in which you felt you couldn't figure out or you couldn't transcend, which is the crown chakra region that the liver meridian hangs out in there. And times in which you felt like you should have been able to make it through, but you didn't. So times where you think you like fell just short. And that this pattern almost creating like a false sense of limitation to the point where it becomes learned helplessness. Like, maybe I just won't go for it again because every time I do, I hit this limitation, this glass ceiling. And we've sort of seen this theme of glass ceiling limitations imposed in a variety of different ways throughout, I want to say, at least the last six or seven sessions of this Daimo Meridian, maybe even earlier. And as we work with learned helplessness here, around this theme of maybe don't stretch too far, maybe don't reach out too far, because you're just going to hurt yourself again, type of learned helplessness. We're actually going to run a seed tree on it. It's going to continue for the next 7 days until we meet again for our integration session, which is again at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, January 25th, Mountain Time. And as we work with this seed tree, it's going to continue to do what needs done during those 7 days. And also alongside of that, we're going to run seed trees for both mom and dad's side of the family lines to clean out this learned helplessness And as we do this for you, for mom's side, for dad's side, we're also working within this the pattern that is a classic pattern in childhood. You, if you have kids, you've probably seen them go through these phases. What I'm going to call feigned incompetence, meaning, oh, I can't do that. So that way somebody else comes in and does it for us. So we actually learn that when we're helpless, our needs get met. So this is one of the roots of learned helplessness, feigned incompetence that gets reinforced in our early years. And this is a thing that's been handed down through the family line. So as we do this, we're going back 6 generations on dad's side, 8 generations on mom's side. Whew, okay, so as we run all three Sidris for the next 7 days, for you, mom's side, dad's side, it's starting off with C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help things to heal, in particular for our nervous and our immune system alike. Okay. And then working with, excuse me, here we go. The balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine. And then also running hydration here again for good measure, taking in that water, that joy, releasing those impurities. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. And then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness in a way, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as this continues to work, we're going to link all the Sidris, interestingly enough, to the lungs for their role in being able to A, surrender, B, respond to life anew, and three, well, begin things that are new. So it's the place where we breathe in that life, where we actually, our very first breath is an exhale. So that gives us a sense that what is often required to initiate anything new is actually not needing to do anything, but to surrender and then breathe in, well, inspiration of what's here in this fresh new moment to see what's available. So as we work with all of this energy in the lungs, releasing again those patterns of those Sidris of learned helplessness, of feigned incompetence, the lungs as they breathe get to expand this chest cavity in a way that actually takes some of the pressure off of the Dymo meridian. Think of this in these terms. When there's tightness or there's lack of full expansion because the lungs aren't breathing, meaning they're not fully opening, there's a certain level of tightness because they're a bit closed off. That tension is carried by the Dymo meridian. And this theme has come up more than once over the past few weeks that the Dymo is just like this residual, almost like collateral damage in a way, or compensating for all of the other parts that are bracing in certain ways, which isn't allowing for the Dymo meridian to actually be free to do its thing. So as the lungs expand, the Dymo meridian actually gets one more weight taken off of it, and that burden that it's been carrying gets to be set down. Then for the Dymo meridian, we're linking it into house 12, again for releasing, surrendering, allowing, letting go. And with it, I actually see another layer of that shame begin to get set down. And this little mini body talk session on just the dynamics there that I mentioned earlier begins to settle as we come to this. And then I see the entire kidney meridian actually standing tall, proudly, easefully, gracefully, without pressure, without tension. I just hear the words, it's safe to open up to receive. It's safe to open up and receive. Pardon me. It's safe to open up and receive. And as we offer the words there, the kidney meridian actually begins to like pulse with every breath now. And the kidneys and the lungs that we worked with earlier have a very special relationship. The kidneys actually support the drawing in. They support the inhale. They support our capacity to feel inspired, to connect to inspiration. So as the kidneys begin to receive the benefits of the lungs also now get to receive the benefit of the kidneys, as we're going to link it in that order as well. The lungs get to have an even easier time inhaling with the support of the kidneys. And the kidneys get to stand even more gracefully and at ease as the inhales come in more effortlessly. And these two create in their own way an upward spiral. And I just hear the words, it gets to move all the way through. And then I'm seeing a birth process where, again, baby gets to go all the way through. Moving through crown, all the way through to toes in a way that allows for things to flow. Flow is the word here again. And as there's flow, particularly again of energy from the crown all the way through to the toes, much like a mimicking of a birth canal procedure, birth, there we go, a birthing through the canal. Let me find my words. There is within this the flow now of shame along with guilt, being able to traverse all the way from the crown all the way down through to the feet and then into the earth below. And as it releases, I see it taking off the pressure of all the times where we internalize what's wrong with us or make ourselves wrong. As there's the capacity to realize that this learned helplessness was just that now, it was learned. And any shame that was carried through feeling helpless that was added on in our adult years, in addition to all the learned helplessness, gets to softly be set down. And as that flows through from crown to toes all the way through, I see the adrenals pop up, carrying just a little bit of almost like static noise, a little bit of agitation energy. Excuse me. They've actually got a combination of two things happening. They have a combination of emotions, no small thing. Anxiety as well as overwhelm. And both are present in both, but there's a little bit more anxiety on the left side and a bit more overwhelm on the right side. So feminine on the left side is holding on to that anxiety, and then the masculine adrenal more so with the overwhelm. Left adrenal is carrying the anxiety around. I'm afraid there won't be enough. I'm afraid there won't be enough. Fill in the blank, enough anything. And then on the right side, I don't know how to provide enough, and the overwhelm around not knowing how to provide and have resources abundantly provided or the capacity to provide those. Okay, so these two are very interlinked. The common denominator being that of lack consciousness or lack of abundance. That's all in King now. Again, it's a house 12 for its role in surrender, as well as into the liver for letting go, for detoxing, for processing in particular old karmic patterns that just don't need to be here anymore. And as this karma ends, this piece of karma ends, linking it all the way through the family lines as well on both sides. Beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. So I invite you to breathe and receive in any way that feels right. As that part settles, the permission statement that's coming up next is the words, safe to exist. Okay, interesting. And that's linking into the sexual chakra. And some shame and guilt here too around existing. That actually got created from the moment of conception and there being shame and guilt in enjoying the pleasure around the act, around conceiving. Interesting. And as we look at, I know no one wants to really think of mom and dad in that moment creating you, but there's actually some tension in the pelvic bowls that just was carried forward. And it certainly didn't stop with just your mom and dad. This is something that, again, is going all the way through the family lines. Not all the way through. It actually hits a stopping point about 10, 12 generations back. That might have been the time when there was potentially a shift in religious viewpoints, cultural viewpoints, societal viewpoints. My history is not very wonderful in this arena, but energetically, that's where it's showing up. In between generations 10 through 12. So, as we work with the initial 10 to 12 generations past and all that shame and guilt that's carried through, and potentially the religious doctrinations that anyone has experienced, or in a way that you may not have received that, but someone before you did, and it's still locked into their bones, and in a way you were still carrying it if they didn't integrate it and resolve it. So as we release that, running a cellular repair to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're linking that into the perineum, that space between either vagina or testes and anus. And as we do so, unhooking the identity of I am wrong. Along with the belief system of I do bad things, I do wrong things, and then related to that, the belief system slash identity as well of I am a sinner. Okay, and then related to that, the belief system I should be punished through primarily the lens of shutting down joy and not enjoying pleasure, so punishing by not taking in the joy, the beauty of this world, the joy, the beauty of what's available to us. The joy and beauty that may have actually been provided by, well, my bias, that which is eternal, whatever you call that, whatever your name for that is. And as we work with this, I invite you, if it's okay to do so, to take a moment to literally breathe into your pelvis. And I'm also going to invite you to make any little wiggle woggle movements, side to side, front to back. You can even link up your movements by rocking your pelvis forward as you inhale, rocking it backward ever so slightly as you exhale. Most people are pretty mobile in the back parts, as we're used to like slouching in chairs and things like that a lot. And that inhale usually means to have just a little bit more, opening, mobility, rotational work done on it. So I invite you to really lean into that inhale as the pelvis rocks forward, exhaling and allowing it to drop back and rinsing and repeating. Inhaling, maybe just a little bit more vibrantly as the pelvis rocks forward, exhaling and letting it drop back. And if that feels overly complicated, then just bringing in any movements in general into the pelvis right now, that'll be beautiful work right there. And as you hang out here, we're going to simultaneously work with the various layers of suffering that have happened in the pelvis through the name of righteousness, whether that is somebody else's belief system about what's right that was imposed upon you, that you got to learn, that you were conditioned by, or anything else. Or whether that was a sense of, I have the right to take what I want when I want it. And that belief system, if that was on the receiving end by somebody other than yourself, may have left a fairly significant imprint and wounding. And that may not even be in this lifetime, but it may have been in your parents, their parents, the parents before them, 10, 12 generations back. Looking at this theme, in essence, of a variety of ways of righteousness and abuse and feeling right to abuse. So there's really two pieces a play with, and I say that there's the actual abuse itself, and then there's the attitude of the abuser getting to feel righteous because of it. And as we unhook the righteousness, that's actually coming off of a few places. The left brain, the liver, and the kidneys. No small thing. So that impact of that, someone else thinking they were right to be able to take what they wanted from you whenever they wanted to. As that releases, I actually also see the right brain begin to grieve heavily. There's a lot of grief coming out of the right side. I'm going to link that into the right side of the brain, that is, into the compassion, this feminine brain, linking into the compassion centers, which hang out in the upper chest on either side, roughly in the midline of either side of the chest. And then linking that into the midline, which explains why that midline stuff came up so strongly at the beginning. Linking that into the governing, the conception vessel meridians in the midline to support repatterning at the deepest level of your primary masculine and feminine natures. And I see that pattern of both abuse and the righteousness begin to dissolve as the midline structures are met. And as it meets all those midline structures, it forms almost what feels like another opening, almost like a portal or a vaginal canal of sorts. And if we can imagine what it might be like to be born into ourselves or to be born into our world with a different pattern at play that doesn't have to involve all of those layers of abuse and righteousness and abuse, and also within that, the other part of just the programmed suffering that I should deny myself or I should punish myself for feeling good in life in general. We get to move through all those layers. This also explains why all the head to toe and the birth stuff came up a little while ago. Always love it when pieces fall into place like this. And that whole birthing energy gets to come alive in a different way as we, in essence, get to be reborn. We're going to link this all into eighth house, which is the house of the energy of rebirth, of moving through dying away to the old and being born anew. As that happens through the midline structures here, centering you into what it means to be in your body in a way that this pelvis doesn't have to hang on to all those old stories of suffering, of abuse, of righteousness. In a way that this perineum gets to drop down, relax, not having to brace and be on guard and be rigid about how it is we're facing our worlds. I hear the permission statements. This body is safe now. This body is safe now. And if you could imagine taking like megaphones to either side of the family lines and blasting that message in a way that gets to be received and heard all the way through 10 to 12 generations back. This body is safe now. All of those old experiences, those deep patterns that have been carried generations upon generations begin to settle, begin to lay down. As they move through, linking them now to kidney one points and then into the earth below, grounding them, releasing them into the arms of Mama Earth, tenderly holding all of that energy. Now, as that happens, both sides of the pelvic bowl begin to open up sideways, open up to the front body as well as to the side body alike. And the iliopsoas muscles that run between the low back and the hip begin to just spontaneously unwind. On the left side, as it does so, the left iliopsoas muscle releases just terror. Pure terror. And all that it's had to hold. And the right side is actually numb, it's collapsed, it's in shock, and it gets to release those layers too. And as it, on the right side, begins to defrost, if you want to think of it in those terms, coming back to life, much like a tree does in springtime. This gets to be your spiritual spring, if you want to think of it that way. An opportunity for the psoas muscles themselves, in a way, to, as they release this, be reborn and to enter their capacity to stand, much like the solidity, stability of a tree trunk. But with the same capacity to flow, like the leaves and the branches can work with the wind, they bend with it without breaking. Linking both iliopsoas muscles into the element of wood to support that, and through the QL muscles in the low back of the either side of the body there, just below that kidney or around the kidney region, a little lower. And we're releasing apathy. This apathy looks like thick layers of ice that were in place, holding all of basically this entire session in place. And as the session has taken place, those little balls of apathy no longer need to be there. The apathy was there as a form of false protection that's no longer needed. And it begins just to, on its own, spontaneously melt away. We're going to bring in the planetary energy of the sun through to the low back to bring in that vitality, that warmth, that support of new life, new growth, new possibilities, as well as what it means to be protected through warmth of the sun versus the coldness of the ice. It kind of reminds me of the, like the general, I just watched this movie, which is why it's in my mind. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as they defrost and come out of like eternal winter, and then they enter the land of sun and warmth and growth and spring. It has that kind of a feel to it as this apathy drops away. The collapse of that right iliopsoas begins to drop away even further now. And I see both of the tree trunks of the iliopsoas muscles and their branches flowing nicely. And the QL muscles, as the ice melts away, gives rise to grass, flowers, shrubbery. And as there's all this new life, this new forestry coming alive, blooming in abundance is the phrase here. It's defined by the consciousness of blooming in abundance. What if this pelvis actually gets to bloom in abundance? This low back gets to bloom in abundance? And what if that message of blooming in abundance gets to be sent all the way down the legs, standing in the strength, the power, the fierceness of you blooming in abundance, just as it rises up the spine, all the way through to the very crown and beyond, blooming in abundance, as this energy begins to pump through the system, moving down, moving up a leg. It actually supports the heart in being able to open and expand. And for that Ming Men in the back body to also do the same, the pilot light of our body to open and expand. And in the Dai Mo Meridian, we actually need to work with restoring its resiliency. It's almost like, if something's like an elastic that got wound too tight for too long, then it just got like stretched out. Or a better example, it might be like, those eye masks that you wear, and if you give it to someone who has a bigger head than you, and they stretch it out, and then it just gets like too loose for you to actually use it and work well again. We need to restore the resiliency and the elasticity of the Dai Mo Meridian to be able to roll with life's ups and downs, roll with the punches of life, roll with the tendency for things to be able to flow. And not be in that stuck place that we found earlier as well in the session. And as this gets restored, this essence of flow in these ways, through that Dai Mo Meridian, linking it up to the hearts for harmony, linking it into the heart for respect, for healthy relationships. And for connecting us to, well, my bias, the deepest wisdom there is. Or one might say the access point through the heart to access the deepest wisdom there may be. And as this settles in the heart, and as there's new flow and less stuckness and stagnation, we're going to simultaneously run up body chemistry for your microbiome to release any stagnations through those patterns where we might have potentially things like too much yeast in our system, too much candida, we might have too much bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, we might have not enough, there might be a deficiency here. So supporting it to also bloom in abundance and with the right good population of healthy microbiome here. And then we're linking at the same time as all of that, linking in zygoma to pubic bones. And this reciprocal helps to, in a way, release a variety of shame through not just the zygomatic arches in the face, but also through the top of the pubic bone and the pelvis. And this time, as it connects, it's not so much working with the shame because we've done a fair bit of that, but it's actually opening up for you to get to be seen for what it is you possess in your vitality without the shame having to be there. the zygoma, the pubic crest, actually open up as new centers rather than having to hold shame. They get to hold vitality to let the world see you as such, to let the world receive your joy, your pleasure energetically as such. This joy, this pleasure gets to fuel vitality that you get to move and be seen as you express vitality. That you get to move from pelvis and be seen as zygomatic arches, vital. That's really safe. That's really safe now to get to be seen as such. And interesting, there's actually a fear of other people being jealous for witnessing your success or your vitality, or pick your word here. It's more than just, vitality and physical health, but in any other way, and that fear of jealousy being carried in the left shoulder blade, it looks like mostly. And similar to learned helplessness, creating its own false limitation around what it is you're actually allowed to not just move in, but also get to express as joyous. And there's almost this idea of I'll just play small, I'll play under, I'll go one down, especially when something good has happened in my life. I won't celebrate it or share it with others because I don't want them to feel too bad. I don't want them to also, on a subconscious level, be jealous and afraid that you'll risk losing their connection if you actually got to step into the beauty of all that you are enjoying in your own life. Interesting. We're actually going to run a cellular repair on that entire dynamic. And we're doing it for the heart meridian. Just cleaning out those old ways of navigating that tendency to be one down or to play small, play inferior when it comes to joy and expressing it. Out of that fear of jealousy or the fear of potentially losing connections, if you were to step into the full, vital, joyous expression of you. As we do this, it's also carrying the energy of not wanting to be disloyal to the family lines. It's like, oh, if I'm happy, then that means everyone else who has come before me, they may not be as receptive to that because they weren't always so happy and they lived the life of whatever they lived their life as. And that might have been sour, or it might have been serious, or it might have been got to work hard, or whatever the family messaging was. And the stories are broad and varied with some common enough themes. And as we move through that all, through this entire heart meridian, know that any of those old stories of needing to be loyal to the family by being anything other than joyous gets to be set down now. And we're going to run circulation of all those healing resources through the heart meridian, all the same ones that I mentioned earlier for the seed tree. And this one's also continuing for the next 7 days. And during that time frame, if it calls to you, there's actually just a little somatic movement that might be really interesting to play with. We've seen it show up in various ways, but not quite as fully as this. Or it might have actually come up once. The idea is if you can take your hand, I don't know if I can get it all on camera, I'll do my best. Might just do one side at a time. And rotate your arms. So if you could take your wings, so to speak, to the side. Rotating the arm so the pinky finger goes up with the back of the hand facing forward, and then rotating all the way around so the pinky finger is up, but the palm of your hand is more facing upward. And as you do one arm, so if the right arm was doing this way with the thumb down the back of the hand towards the front, the left arm would actually be doing the opposite, and it would be instead of here, it would be there with the pinky finger up. So they'd be taking turns twisting in opposite directions, almost like you were wringing out a towel. I'll see if I can get myself on screen so you get both arms at the same time if I have enough distance. I do, yay. Okay, so. Like so. And then I'll invite you to play with it with slightly different angles. One arm might come up, one arm might go back a little behind you, a little bit further or down. And in a way, as you do this, it works out predominantly the shoulders and the back of the upper back region and the heart meridian as it gets wrung out, so to speak. Gets a little bit more flexibility and mobility to tap into those underlying pieces and to release them more thoroughly. So as these ring out, so to speak, with all that circulation of all those healing resources in play, we're going to simultaneously, as you embrace that movement, as much or as little as you feel called to, work with releasing apathy, along with the theme of stuckness. Most of us have one sort of point or another where you're going to feel a bit of almost adhesion. And that's an area of chronic patterned stuckness, which is also hanging on to a little bit of learned helplessness. Okay. So as you work with that, it's also working with the consciousness of releasing the burden. Specifically, releasing the burden of having to think positive, put on a brave face, be happy even though you don't feel it, and fake it till you make it type of false joy. And all the times you may have done that because you needed to for the stability of your children, the stability of your family, the stability of your workplace environment, the stability of, oh, everything, including your own sanity. And all the times that we put on that mask of, it's fine, it's okay, I can still be happy enough here, gets almost self-imposed as its own limitation or its own glass ceiling, so to speak. And for all those times in which you felt like you had to mask for really good reasons, felt like you had to hide that away. If you can imagine taking all those times and scooping them up together and giving them one session. Unhooking the belief system slash identity. I should be seen and not heard. I should be seen and not heard. Slash, I should be invisible, like as in what I truly feel and think and want to share with you should actually be just held invisibly. And underlying that, the belief system of I really don't matter here. Okay, as we work with all of that energy, running lymphatic circulation through all those holding points that are hanging on to that, wherever that may be, it's a little different for every person. However, the one commonality is that they all dovetail into being held by the pancreas reflex points. So, as we do this, we're going to link it into the pancreas reflex points on that left-hand side of the body, known as spleen 21 points. often an area where you may have heard me speak to a release of internalized shame before. From here, also releasing sadness of having to have carried this in these ways. And then running hydration, not just through pancreas reflex point, but also all the way through the right side, through spleen 21. And running it, if you can imagine that, all the way through the body, from left to right, and then from right to left. So, this reciprocal flow of hydration brings in joy and brings in the flow of joy more particularly in a way that actually reminds the heart that's held in the middle of those two spaces to be able to flow with joy. And that messaging from the heart actually begins to ripple out as its energy field is 60 to 100 times bigger. I find myself like rocking with that wave-like motion between the left and the right side to support that. And if you find yourself doing the same, feel free. And if you don't find yourself doing that and you want to play with it, feel free to just see what it might be like to just ever so gently rock back and forth with joy, with flow. Beauty. And as this continues to flow through heart and then out to the rest of the body mind, cocooning every single organ, endocrine, body part, energy, all of you, as this heart energy field extends up to 17 feet away, if not even further, potentially beyond limitation, potentially beyond all limits known. Potentially to the edge of the infinite, to the limitless. Drinking in this joy is an invitation to let yourself be held by its vibration, its pulsation. And linking this back to those kidney one points into the earth below, so you're both grounded and flowing in joy. And tapping this out here, invitation to breathe and receive in any way that feels right. Giving that one more round of breath, letting that settle. Letting that settle. As you may continue to rock back and forth and flow, feel free to do so. Or you may notice that you might want to touch on that resource in the very beginning that we found that was really supportive for you to drink in. And I have a short piece of music called Spirit's Calling by Beautiful Chorus. It's from the album Hymns of Spirits. It's just shy of 3 minutes. So I invite you to stay right where you are, to breathe here, and to receive.
Oh. to the rhythm of the falling rain. Surrender to the moment, let it wash your pain away. Awaken to the rhythm of the falling rain. Surrender to the moment, let it wash your pain away. You are the light, you are the light. Lift your voice and
thank you so much for calling this medicine in. May your beauty continue to shine from the inside out. Thank you so much for all that you bring to these days, these weeks, these endeavors, and all the ways that you contribute. Thank you so much for the gift of you. Thank you to your presence. It matters. It matters. Mwah. With all the love, wishing you blessings as you continue this day, this week ahead, until we meet again. And all my love and my grace, and as we navigate these winter months, I'm already hearing some messaging from a variety of folks that has come through in ways that just really touch my heart. So for those of you struggling in any of that, I just want to send extra additional blessings as you navigate your lives in these ways. For those of you that are in winter, some of you aren't at all. And sending you all my love. Bye for now, y'all. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Bye for now, everybody.